Hi, and welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest updates in dermatology, to exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse of what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Morgan Petronelli. Today, we're discussing a clinical study that found individuals with high levels of oxytocin, a hormone that is commonly referred to as the love hormone, also had youthful-looking skin, as measured by skin age score. Let's dive right in. Today I have joining me Dr. Nicole Hare of Cosmetic Dermatology Center, located in McLean, Virginia. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. So my first question is, can you just give a quick synopsis about your pilot clinical study regarding oxytocin and skin aging? And also, can you kind of divulge into a little bit about your findings as well?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. I was a little curious about oxytocin and how, as you said, it affects skin aging. And I wanted to delve into that a little bit. I was really happy to find that there's been some bench work showing that oxytocin is affecting the skin. And I was very surprised to find that the skin actually produces oxytocin. There was a study showing that when the skin is caressed, that it does release oxytocin. Other studies show that it does bind receptors in the skin. And then what it does is it turns off the senescence-associated secretory phenotype, SASP. So what SASP does normally is it will secrete interleukins, IL-1, IL-6, other proteases, and this creates kind of a low-level inflammatory or a little bit of a destructive picture for the skin and causes our aging. But oxytocin, when it's present, turns this off. So it has more of a protective effect for the skin and in effect keeps it healthier and actually looking better. So what I wanted to do is see, does this translate clinically? Can we see this in people? And so I took a small group of patients, six women, and I did some photography with a Canfield system and had everything standardized. We also used a skin age score that had been previously published, and that made it very easy to quantify and look at how well or healthy their skin is for their age. The nice thing about the skin age score is that it correlates with your age. So if you're 50, you should score about a 50. If you score 40, that means you're looking very good for your age. And vice versa, if you score a 60, then you're looking older for your age. So it was a nice tool to use. I also questioned them on their lifetime sun exposure, because as we all know, that the sun also contributes to skin aging. And they were kind enough to collect their urine for 24 hours, because that's how we had to measure the oxytocin. So when we got all this information together, I was just amazed to find that there was a correlation, a linear correlation between the level of oxytocin and the amount that their score, their SAS score, decreased. So in effect, the better they looked, they had a higher oxytocin score in spite of sun exposure. So one lady in my study, she had the highest oxytocin level, but she also had one of the highest sun lifetime exposure scores. But she looked the best for her age relatively. So it was very interesting. And then I also had a patient where her skin looked not as good for her age. And she actually reported a very low level of lifetime sun exposure, and her oxytocin level was low. So it just came together beautifully.
That's awesome to hear and very interesting. We kind of touched on this a little bit beforehand, but what sparked this idea to conduct a study on oxytocin and skin aging?
So I've been in practice almost 20 years, and I've gotten to know a lot of my patients very well. Most of them are women, and we like to chit chat. And they tell me a little bit about their lives. And it's just struck me over the years how people who find a new love or they're in love, they just have this glow, right? We talk about the glow. And they just look radiant. And vice versa, unfortunately, I've had patients where maybe a spouse has died, or they, you know, they have a long-term relationship that broke up and they're just devastated, and the life just seems to disappear out of their skin. They just really look, you know, not as vibrant. They look maybe more dull, and just their skin almost looks depleted, if you will. And so I got to thinking about this because we all associate oxytocin as the love hormone, right? So the love hormone, and we know that it's released during intercourse. We know it's involved in birthing. You know, this is kind of a new idea of, is it involved in other things and looking at it in the skin? So I was pleasantly surprised, as I mentioned earlier, to find that oxytocin is involved in the skin. And I dug a little bit deeper into that because I thought, well, why do we have this in our body? Why would the body be reacting to a social situation, a physical situation, to make us look better, to make us look healthier? Well, I figured it has to go beyond that. And it does. There is preliminary research in every system of the body showing that oxytocin has a positive effect. For instance, in the GI tract, they are finding that oxytocin levels affect your sensation of being full. It's related to your appetite, and that lower oxytocin levels are correlated with obesity. So that's just one example. And so I find that this whole system is almost undiscovered, and that we are supposed to be more social with each other.
And on that, you know, what was one of the most interesting things that you found out through the study?
So that is probably the most interesting, I feel. I mean, as a dermatologist, you know, and in practice for so long, obviously I know about the skin. I was unaware of oxytocin's role in the skin. And I found that that was fantastic. But this whole social interaction system, so I coined it the oxytocin social exchange system, because the more that we interact with one another on a physical level, the healthier we are. And it's almost this positive feedback loop that we really haven't been paying attention to. And all of these years, we've known that, you know, getting a hug from someone will make you feel good. It'll calm you down. Some people have shown that it will decrease your blood pressure temporarily or your heart rate. But I think we were unaware how much further it goes. And it really has to do with our well-being physically and mentally. You know, we need to really take time out of these busy modern lives that we have. And we need to find time for love and endearment. And, you know, if you don't have anyone to hug, you can hug a dog. I mean, that has been shown to help, or get a massage, because stroking the skin does release oxytocin. So there are so many things that we can do to make ourselves feel better and be healthier.
Absolutely. And, you know, my one last question I have here is, you know, what kind of impact do you think this kind of research will have on the dermatology and like skincare beauty industry?
So I'm working with a pharmaceutical company looking at a botanical that mimics that oxytocin-like effect in the skin. And to date, it has been fantastic. The results are better than I expected. I'm very excited. So I think this has been almost a missing part of our skincare routine. But on a day-to-day level, I think that dermatologists, and even just any kind of doctor, when we see our patients, we need to remind them to, you know, get off devices and interact with their friends and family and loved ones, because it's just so important for us. And I think this past year has really shown, you know, a lot of people have been very isolated, and it's just not healthy for us, not just mentally, but physically. We need that interaction. That's what we're here for.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, and you have a great day.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles and videos to podcasts, you can visit www.dermatologytimes.com.